All right, welcome back to Sports Talk for Fans by Fans. Brian here. Got Alex with me, episode 39. We're 39 episodes in, Alex. We're going into week 5. So just everyone, thank you for listening and supporting. Get you guys our 30-minute recap of week 5 going into week 6. Before we get started, Alex, something you brought up to my attention, I just want to kind of let you fill in quickly, but we've got some information on some John Gruden emails you want to cover really quick.
Well, this is just as we record, Adam Schefter just came out and kind of went on ESPN on his own little rant about a little bit more about the John Gruden emails. It sounds like to me from his sources that the league had turned in more emails over to the Raiders, I guess waiting for the Raiders to make a decision. But from what Adam Schefter claims, that the emails are a lot worse than we've already heard about. I know we already talked about the DeMora Smith thing and even about the Goodell thing, but it sounds like there was a lot more. It sounds like it might get worse. So we're going to probably have to hold out, see if they're going to do it like they did the New England Patriots and probably burn these emails so no one ever sees them and make a big controversy out of it, or they're going to release this stuff and maybe we find out some more issues on this.
The Raiders, they peaked at week 3 and they've just fallen apart ever since. So I guess we'll see what happens with this. But all right, let's get into week 5 quick recap for everyone, just kind of covering quickly the things that are worth noting from a lot of the games. Starting with the Thursday night game, Alex, Russell Wilson pretty much broke his fingers. Gonna be out a couple weeks, about 4 to 8 weeks. Next, Alex, why does the NFL continue to disrespect the UK? I went to a couple of the London games, but the talent we sent out there, like I got to see Christian McCaffrey play, which is cool. But I mean, we just sent them to Falcons and the Jets. And next week we send them Dolphins and Jacksonville. I think all those teams combined have three wins, I think. So don't understand. But what were your thoughts of Kyle Pitts in his little mini outbreak? Did you watch that game? Did you like what Pitts did?
Well, you have to think about it on the fantasy side. They lost Ridley. They obviously needed another kind of offensive toy there. We kind of, if you're one of those Pitts guys, you're kind of waiting him to kind of break out and kind of start to be that top tight end like we thought he was. But this was his coming out game. The sad and the bad part is it's a coming out game against the Jets. So you got to kind of take that as it is.
Yep. and also with that, Matty Ice is heating up. We'll get into his stats a little bit later on. A week for kickers to forget if you're a kicker, if you're a fan of the Bengals and Packers maybe, but talk about kicker drama. There was 12 missed extra points, which is tied for the worst ever since they moved back the extra point distance from, the 2-yard line to where it is now. This is the first time in NFL history that they've had double-digit missed extra points and double-digit missed field goals in the same week. So a lot of chaos, unless you're a Lions fan, that's just complete heartbreak. But with the Lions, they get their heart ripped out again. Their second loss by last second field goal. So in theory, they really could be 2-3, with at least some hope going into next year. But maybe for the sake of draft pick, it's, I think, better to be 0-5, have a better draft pick and keep building what they're doing. I think, Alex, I guess Dan Campbell may be the right coach. What do you think about Dan Campbell so far?
He was crying at his presser, man. I don't know if that's an absolutely good thing or an absolutely bad thing, but there's no crying in football.
It's true. All right. Jaguars and Lions are both 0-5. The Jaguars are now the third team in NFL history to lose 20 straight games. Alex, do you know who the other two are?
I would say it would probably be the Tampa Bay Buccaneers with Mr. McKay, who was involved in trying to, I guess, execute his team, and I will also say the Detroit Lions.
Okay, so the Bucs had 26 straight losses in the 70s, so you got that one. The other one is the Cardinals, I think, had 29 straight in the 30s or something before football really existed. So kind of, I don't know if that's a real stat, but the Jaguars have now hit 20, and they could lose. They could break that, at least the record that the Bucs have. The Texans looked really good against the Pats until they did a weird punt formation, hit themselves in the back of the head, which now leads us to Bill Belichick's now 21-7 against rookies all time. Moving on from Bill Belichick to his better half, Tom Brady throws for 5 wins and a dominant win over the Finns. Alex, Sam Darnold looked great for the first 3 weeks. Then he didn't look so great the last 2 weeks. Should have beat the Eagles. Do you blame Darnold for the losses, or do you think there's other circumstances again?
Oh, man, that was a tough breaking loss. I also think I put a little bit on the coaching staff. They kind of let up the gas on it. They had that win. I think they were thinking about cruising. But the Philadelphia Eagles defensive line took the game over. They got after Darnold late, so.
All right, Najee Harris carries Pittsburgh literally to a must-win with 120 yards rushing, his first 100-yard rushing game. Alex, are we ready to say we were wrong about Harris and the bad Pittsburgh offensive line, or was this kind of a rare situation where it won't happen very often that he runs this well?
Oh, no, we're not getting off the boat about the bad offensive line because Big Ben's still taking some hits, so I'm not really bell on that.
Damn right. All right, let's get into the four games we talked about last week as the must-watch games. We're going to kind of break them down with our predictions. So last week, the very first one that we talked about was the Rams at the Seahawks. Rams were 1-point favorite. I stuck by the Seattle with the home field advantage. Alex had the Rams. I got it wrong. I blame Russell Wilson and having weak fingers and not being like a man like Ronnie Lott. So that's why I lost. I'm sticking to that. But both quarterbacks ended up having finger injuries that game. Stafford was more minor, I guess. He kept playing. Now Wilson's out for 4 to 8 weeks. Alex, do you think there's any viable option to pick up for fantasy for Russell Wilson that may be kind of available now? Because usually, you know, the quarterbacks available now are like your rookies or like your bottom 10, 15 quarterbacks. Is there anyone you see out there that you can kind of fill in temporarily for Wilson? Or like, do you think Geno Smith is decent enough to fill in the fantasy for Russell Wilson?
If you're going for Geno Smith in fantasy wise, you're in a bad situation already. In most of the standard leagues, you should be able to find somebody way better than Geno Smith. But if you're in some deeper leagues where you can play multiple quarterbacks, yeah, it's either him or you're maybe looking at somebody very desperate, like a backup quarterback.
I do want to say and throw this out really quick. If you're in a league like that, where we have one league that we're in together, where it's a two quarterback league, where the flex can be a quarterback also, which is really fun. You don't see a lot of quarterbacks available, and to kind of show how desperate people got back a couple years ago when this was a thing, there was no quarterbacks available, and someone picked up Nathan Peterman and actually had him for the 5-interception game. So, you know, if you're one of those leagues that's two quarterbacks, that could be someone you may need to pick up as Geno Smith as a temporary fill-in. I'm looking at our league right now, Alex, and the quarterbacks available there are Zach Wilson, Geno Smith, Davis Mills, Mike Glennon, Taysom Hill, Dalton, Jimmy Garoppolo, someone just dropped, which, you know, I guess maybe I should go pick him up. But, you know, I guess it depends what kind of league you're in. The NFL should probably be put on notice because now Matt Stafford figured out who Bobby Trees is. Bobby Trees had 14 targets, 12 catches, 150 yards, so he didn't force-feed Cooper Kupp and only Cooper Kupp. Another option for the Rams, that's not good for everyone. Other things for the Seahawks to kind of talk about. They're now last place, well, tied for last place with the Niners and NFC West, and they're now 0-2 at home, which is kind of unusual for them. For this defense, Alex, though, for the Seahawks, they're last in passing yards. They're last in rushing yards allowed. Can this defense be fixed? And before you answer that question, PFF-wise, there's only four players that are in the top half of their own position group. One of them is Bobby Wagner, which we expect. The other one, which we expect, is Jamal Adams. His coverage grade is a 58 out of 80. Something's got to change there, Alex. But can this defense be fixed in Seattle?
Not during this year, I don't think. I think they are what they are. They made their bed, and they're sleeping in it. They didn't value cornerback, value pass rush, and strong safety. So that's where they're at.
Yep. Let's move on to the next game. We said Packers at Bengals because we wanted to see the Bengals, if they were for real, because they were 3-1 going to this game. A win against Green Bay, even though it was in Cincinnati, would point them in completely the right direction. Alex, are you impressed with the Bengals enough to say that they could make a playoff run this year, even though they lost this game?
If you're a positive person, you would think, but I want to see if they were still the Bengals. And somehow, some way, this game, they brought out that they were the Bengals. So I've lost kind of partial faith in them right now.
All right, the big thing to talk about this game, is kickers, because we could talk about the matchup of the future and the present of quarterbacks, wide receiver combos of Rodgers and Adams against Burrows and Chase. That'd be too easy to talk about. We're going to talk about Mason Crosby and his 7 field goals attempted this game, which is the 3rd most of all time for attempts in a game. Alex, do you know what the most attempts in a game is in NFL history for field goal attempts?
I'm going to say 10.
Okay, so 9 is the most from 1967. There's a couple that are tied with 8. Some of those players, I think there's about 9 total, or there's 8 total. I'm sorry, there are 7 total. Of those 8, though, with 8 attempts, Bass on the Bills, Sanders on the Dolphins, your boy Cundiff, Billy Cundiff, right? He had 8 attempts in a game. I don't know if you remember that game. And Rob Bronis. So those are a couple of kickers with a ton of attempts. But Crosby was 4 for 7. I think he had 26 straight made before he missed 3, and then he won the game. Really confusing. McPherson was 0 for 2 on field goals. So, Alex, I know there was a stat about LaFleur being one of the fastest coaches to a certain amount of wins. But I was kind of confused and concerned by the decisions he made in that game. Are you confused also with when he made the attempts? Why not go with Aaron Rodgers on a couple of those? Are you kind of concerned with the decision-making of the coaching staff in Green Bay?
I scratched my head in this game. If it was just a one-time thing, I would. But the decision make it back in the championship game when you had Aaron Rodgers not going 4-4, they've already shown me a little bit that they got a little bit of a weak spine. But when you have to understand, when you got one of those guys like an Aaron Rodgers, I mean, you put the ball in his hand and let him go win the freaking game. So yeah, I kind of seen, or maybe do they have the wherewithal to be aggressive and to make the aggressive decisions? But hey, it worked out for him.
Yeah, I mean, if you had like Blake Bortles as your quarterback, which you have no clue what's going to happen, then absolutely you'd make the field goal. So, you know, if you have a kicker like Justin Tucker, but I don't get it. And I think that's going to forever haunt and cost Rodgers wins. And I think that's kind of one reason why he made that little jab a couple weeks ago. You know, it's like, hey, Mike Tomlin's a great coach. Mike Tomlin makes good decisions. He's a people person. You know, that's a team he could want to go play to. I think Rodgers would want to go to a good coach, I think, is what we're going to look at this next year. So that's not the Broncos. Vic Fangio, I love him, but that's not what they have right now. So kind of curious to see how that goes. Let's move to the next one. Also, by the way, the Bengals were – actually, the Packers favored by 3.5. So Alex went with the Packers on that – or with the Bengals. Sorry, so he picked the Bengals to cover, so he actually technically got that right. So I was wrong by 0.5. So Alex, once again, is now 2-0. I'm 0-2. Going into the third game, which is Cleveland at the Chargers, and I'm full-blown on the Chargers train even before this game. I got this one right. Alex got this one wrong. It was a break-even. It was a push. Cleveland 42, Chargers 47. Alex, the score? We didn't see that coming, right? Like I thought it was going to be a low scoring game. What about you with a 47-42 game?
Oh yeah. I thought it was going to be going to be that way because I thought the Browns were going to run the ball down the Chargers throat and Chargers weren't going to have many attempts. So I expected it to be kind of a low scoring game, but the offenses came alive.
Yeah. To talk about how high scoring the game was, there was 6 touchdowns total in the fourth quarter. The Chargers put up 26 points. The Browns put up 15. They combined for 41 points total, which by itself outscored 4 games yesterday. So their fourth quarter outscored 4 different games yesterday by themselves. The Browns ran for, over 200 yards. They now average 200 yards a game through 5 games. However, OBJ, once again, yeah. He to me is the distraction of the team. 3 targets, 2 catches, 20 yards. Didn't really do much in that high scoring game. Derwin James, though, Alex, it's finally nice to see him healthy and playing. He had 17 tackles, so hopefully he can keep it going. But with this showed us kind of the difference between Herbert and Baker Mayfield. Herbert was the real deal. The Browns offense isn't really built to come from behind these type of games. There's a run offense. So with Baker Mayfield, he's gonna need a contract. He's going to demand top 5 money because, quarterbacks that get new contracts, they always reset the market. It's always top quarterback money. It's not going to be a, hey, I'm going to take $9 million a year. They're always resetting the market. Do you think Baker Mayfield's going to get a contract? Because I don't think he doesn't obviously deserve top 10 money, but are the Browns going to do it just because their history of not having good quarterbacks? Do you think he actually gets that contract?
Yeah, I think he's going to get it. I mean, you've been in the Browns and you've been in quarterback purgatory for since Bernie Kosar, and really been in purgatory really since you came back to Cleveland. You kind of have to pay him. And I really feel for the Browns family. You know, the Browns have been waiting for like a really good football team. And when they pay him, it's probably going to hurt the rest of their team.
Yeah, definitely will. They have a lot of young players on the team that need to get paid. All right, the last game we're going to cover is the Bills at the Chiefs, Alex. So you got the lead on that one. Can you break that down for us?
Yeah, Buffalo Bills against the Kansas City Chiefs. This is a repeat from the playoff game. This is the game everyone kind of circled, kind of being one of those things that everyone wants to see. Maybe the fight for who we expected to be the top seeds in the AFC. Man, how 5 weeks have kind of changed everything. If you're one of those people that were going into Sunday night hoping that you get saved by a miracle fantasy-wise by Buffalo players, you probably won your week this week.
Unless you had Diggs. Yes. Unless you had Diggs, which I had. Thanks a lot.
However, if you expected Dawson Knox to go off and have a ton of points fantasy-wise, you were absolutely surprised. Three catches, 117 yards, and a touchdown. And looked like on a couple of plays, Kansas City defense just absolutely blew the coverage. Also, if you're a big Josh Allen guy, he also threw over for 300 yards. But more importantly, he's leading Buffalo in rushing last night at 11 carries at 59 yards, and he got himself a tug. Not a passing touchdown, a rushing touchdown. And in fantasy, rushing touchdowns for quarterbacks are golden. I think when people were trying to figure out whether Buffalo was going to be able to kind of run with Kansas City, it looks like Buffalo's defense kind of turned around, kind of looks like they've kind of a little bit better. They definitely made Kansas City kind of do a little bit dinking and ducking. Pat Mahomes' average completion was at 5 yards average compared to Buffalo's average pass of 12.1. So that was there. But to me, Brian, I think the story of the game right now is what we're going to have to be looking for is Kansas City's defense. Right now, they're at the bottom in every major statistical category, 29th in pass defense, 32nd in sacks, 29th against the run, 32nd scoring. And then also, I think the Alliance said they're the first ever team to allow 29 points or more in the first five games. Looking on Pro Football Focus, Brian, I'd say if you had to make their top three defensive players, would you probably say it'd probably be like Chris Jones, Frank Clark, Honey Badger Matthew? That's what you probably say?
Yeah, by name, that's who it should be.
Well, so far this year, based off of Pro Football Focus, Matthew's at a 61.1, which is the 47th player at his position. Chris Jones is a 69.6, the 51st at his position. And Frank Clark is at a 34.9, which isn't even a rank right now. Obviously, he's been hurt. And then Shorson, I don't know what Chris Collinsworth was talking about last night about Shorson being a great player. He's a 40.4 right now at 78th at his position. They got a lot of bad grades. A lot of players on their team are really struggling right now. One of the things, the reason why they're 2-3 right now, I know this is overreaction Monday, but it's going to be the real question about this defense. So, Brian, do you think this defense has the ability to kind of turn itself around?
Man, the thing with this defense last couple of years was Steve Spagnuolo was really good at turning on the pressure at the end of games when he needed to make a stop, which allowed the offense to do what they do best. And it's kind of both things aren't clicking as well as they used to. You know, offensive wise, I think they have less weapons, so it's easier to key in on them. But that defense you're talking about, when you look at, I think some of this has been updated, but their defensive line, if you take Chris Jones out for who played yesterday, every single one of them is rated as the 100th worst player at that position group out of whatever. So Frank Clark is 105th out of 105 eligible edge defenders at his position group. So he's the worst of all of them. Sorensen is actually, I think, the 81st out of 86. And you, I know you said he was 78th, but in terms of coverage grade, he's the 81st out of 86. So he's even worse in coverage. And if you look at his history, last year he was 86 of 94. The year before that, he was 68. Yeah, and he's been in the 70s. And that 70th percentile, 70th out of 90 eligible safeties. That's how bad he is. There's no plan to fix his defense. They've invested so much on fixing the offensive line, which is rated very well, that their defense is completely dysfunctional right now. I don't see it getting any better, Alex. I think this is just what the Chiefs are. They're going to have to hope that they can hold a team under 30 points, and then the offense starts scoring over 30 points. So is a turnaround manageable? Yes, it can be just because of their offense, but their defense is not going to get any better this year. It's going to be they're just going to have to hope to keep people under 30.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens going forward. So,
all right. Let's, I guess, move on to the next part. Then we're going to talk our new thing for this one. We're going to talk biggest surprises of the first 5 weeks. I'm more so covering kind of individual players. Alex is covering kind of team-based surprises. So, Alex, you want to lead us off with what are your biggest team surprises of the first 5 weeks that you got?
So, first of all, I'm going to go ahead and toot my horn. I kind of picked this one, but even in coming forth, I'm a little surprised. The first one, it would be probably be your L.A. Chargers with their new place they're staying. They are 4-1. Not only are they 4-1, they're tied. They're at the top of the AFC West, which y'all thought Kansas City was going to be the top of the West. And they're tied for the top of the AFC right now with Buffalo. We're talking about Justin Herbert kind of being kind of an MVP caliber. Brandon Staley, we're talking about probably being a coach of the year based off this situation. Their only loss is to the Cowboys, and it was by a late field goal. So this team can easily be 5-0. So if you kind of look at it in the first quarter of this season, no one picked that the Chargers are going to be the top of the AFC.
You just go through all of them, and I'll go through my I'll go through any players after that. Yep.
Okay. Second one I'm going to talk about is the Arizona Cardinals. We talked about MVP talks. We're talking Kyler Murray. I think if you said that the Arizona Cardinals are going to be 5-0, if we talked about it at the beginning of this year, you'd say, oh, great. Kyler Murray is really getting on the same page with D-Hop. Well, Hopkins hasn't been that big offensive weapon this year. Arizona's actually been spreading the ball around. Me and Brian talk about all the time about the random wide receiver. 1 week it's Rondale Moore, then it's Christian Kirk, then it's even A.J. Green. And the thing about the defense, the additions they did this offseason had kind of made this defense a little bit more manageable, where they're not one of the worst in the league. They kind of needed to be middle pack. You knew they were going to have the offensive game plan to kind of move the ball. So with the defense and everything, and I'm surprised that the coaching staff has gotten in the middle of this. So Arizona being 5-0, definitely the month surprise. My next surprise, I'm going to go the Washington defense. I'm not even going to say the team. I'm going to say the Washington defense. We thought this defense was going to make a step up to be epic, to be elite. We knew that their linebacker core needed an upgrade. They drafted Jermaine Davis, and they needed another cornerback, William Jackson. But if you look at the whole situation of it, they're worse. They're one of the worst in most of the major statistical categories. William Jackson, someone we thought were going to be a big upgrade at cornerback, he's actually rated by Pro Football Focus as the 96th rated cornerback right now. So we expected that D-line to kind of step up and kind of be dominant, and they kind of be sacks galore. They kind of really been struggling, especially Chase Young has been struggling getting to the quarterback. So that's my third surprise. And then my fourth surprise, kind of piggyback a little bit what we talked earlier, is about the Chiefs. No one of us said that the Chiefs are going to be at the bottom of their division at 2-3. Mahomes already this year has had as many interceptions as he's had the previous year. So you're already turning the ball over, and then we're talking about one of the worst defenses in the NFL right now. I think we expected that the offense was going to be great. The offense is kind of been okay. They haven't been as elite as they usually are. And then the defense that we thought were going to be pushing for the middle of the road are at the bottom of the NFL. So those are kind of my four big surprises already on the season.
All right. And so for the individual surprises kind of that I'm tracking, the one that everyone's talking about, Trayvon Diggs, 6 interceptions. His overall corner grade isn't as good as you expect it, but as a cover grade, he's 11th best in football. So Cowboys definitely needed that. It's great to see that they have some developing young talent there on defense. The next two are both on the Raiders, which is kind of probably how they got to at least being above 500 as of right now. Casey Hayward, which Alex has talked about a couple of times, he was rated the 69th corner last year, but this year he's now the top corner, so it's a huge bounce back by him. And through his career, he's been pretty much a top 10 corner his whole career. He's probably one of the most underrated corners in all of football. Next was Max Crosby. He only has 2 sacks. However, his pass rush grade is the best in all of football. And as an overall defensive end, not just pass rush, he is still rated the best defensive end in football. So once again, those two players are making huge impacts on the Raiders on the defensive side. The next is kind of want to go with the unspoken position, the offensive line. So which offensive lineman is performing way better than we expected? Creed Humphrey, the out of Oklahoma, the center for the Chiefs, as an 87.1 grade, is technically the best center of all centers as a rookie. And he's also the 6th best overall offensive lineman of all the offensive linemen. So you have your traditional huge big names. You know, Trent Williams is up there, is number 1 or 2. But Creed Humphrey's up there holding zone is the 6th best offensive lineman, which is what the Chiefs needed. Jamar Chase, he got the kind of bad rep for a lot of the drops, but, you know, he's got 23 catches on 35 targets, 456 yards, 5 touchdowns, 15th best graded wide receiver. Alex, probably the best offensive gem and surprise has got to be Cordarrelle Patterson, the 2nd best running back PFF grade, 3rd highest point per game total in fantasy with 173 rushing yards and 1 rushing touchdown, 25 catches, 295 yards receiving, 4 touchdowns receiving. Great change of pace back from Mike Davis, making the Falcons at least be competitive. You know, I kind of talked the Falcons up. They're 2-3. Matt Ryan's looking great lately, so don't be surprised if the Falcons kind of slowly creep up on people if they can keep this up. And that's without Calvin Ridley and their other weapons. So that's the surprise me and Alex had, kind of what we've been noticing for teams and in individual players. We're going to move on next to the kind of more so fantasy talk now. So what were some major week 5 injuries for fantasy? The first one, the Carson Wentz of the running back, Saquon Barkley, injuring his ankle, stepping on his own teammate's foot, or no, and stepping on Dallas's defensive back's foot, rolling his ankle, still waiting to see what the result is. But, you know, he's obviously not going to be able to come back next week. Max Williams, tight end for the Cardinals, we talked up recently on the fantasy side, probably done for the season. Smith-Schuster, the slot receiver for the Steelers, shoulder, had surgery. He's going to be out for 4 months, so he's pretty much out for the season. A couple more of the minor things, Joe Burrow, throat contusion, Taysom Hill, concussion potentially. Not sure if they're going to be out long-term or not. The last one is George Kittle, one of the big 3 tight ends. For ankle going on the IR, he'll be back in about 3 weeks based on the IR rule, so you should expect him back to be healthy then. Moving on to the fantasy positions, Alex, so we're going to talk and go through all the positions like we usually do and then wrap this up. So starting with quarterbacks, last week's 5 quarterbacks in terms of highest points per game. Mahomes, Darnold, Matt Ryan, Hurts, and Taylor Haneke. This week's top 5, Justin Herbert with his huge game. And I think I saw something crazy, Alex. Like, if you would have started only the Chargers players in fantasy football, you would have put up 140 points between like Eckler, Williams, Herbert. Like, if you would start only Chargers, you'd essentially beat everyone in fantasy football.
Good God.
So this week's number 1 quarterback was Herbert. Number 2, Brady with his 5 touchdown game. Josh Allen, number 3. James Winston's number 4. And Alex, can you guess who number 5 is? Because he is new to the list this year. Do you know who the 5th best quarterback was in fantasy football?
Oh, man. I'm going on a limb. It's got to be somebody. Unexpected. I'm going to say Matt Ryan.
Okay. Nope. Matt Ryan was on the list last week. More unexpected. Davis Mills, 21-29, 312 yards, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. Probably should have beat the Patriots, but there's at least potential because all the rookie quarterbacks looked terrible against the Patriots. Davis Mills actually looked pretty good. He did have a couple weird gimmick plays that worked for him, but he was the 5th best quarterback in all of fantasy football this last week. A couple other quarterbacks to talk about. Trevor Lawrence moved up to his best week in fantasy. He was number 8 this week. But the thing I would kind of throw out there before everyone jumps on the train is, who did he play against? He played against the Titans. The Titans are one of the worst teams in preventing passing yards and yards per carry. So not just passing, but rushing. So they're bad on both sides. Alex, do you know who the Titans play this week? Week six?
Somebody terrible?
Somebody amazing. They play Bills Mafia this week. So you should expect Josh Allen and all Buffalo players to have a massive game because the Titans cannot stop anyone. So it's not going to get better for them. So expect the Bills to put up big numbers again. I wouldn't be surprised if they put up another 40-plus on Tennessee because me and Alex have been talking about Tennessee's defense. They have problems, and they're just getting worse, in my opinion. Number nine quarterback, though, is Matt Ryan. In his last three games, 8 touchdowns, no interceptions, throwing at almost 70% completion percentage, just under 300 yards per game. And remember, last week, on the road, travel, going to London, no Calvin Ridley, force-feeding Kyle Pitts, Cordarrelle Patterson. I think Gage didn't even play either. So Matt Ryan's slowly turning around after his first kind of rough 2 weeks. The last one I'm going to talk about, number 17, Trey Lance. A lot of ups and downs. He got a lot of stuff out of running the ball, but Shanahan's saying he's going to go back to Garoppolo, but if he sticks with Lance, which is what he should do, I would be all in on trying to get Trey Lance if you don't have Trey Lance already. But it's one of those things to kind of watch. The Niners are on a bye this next week. It's the best time to allow Trey Lance to learn that offense. So we should probably know very soon kind of who the starting quarterback is in the practices. So, Alex, before I move on to running back, do you have anything about quarterbacks you want to cover quickly?
No, I think you kind of covered most of the situations. The only thing we already talked about the Geno Smith situation. I will also be looking at if you're, you know, in a league, in a deeper leagues and different things like that. Davis Mills, I wouldn't jump on a Davis Mills bandwagon yet, so I would wait on that.
Yeah, definitely. I'm trying to figure out who do they do you know who they play next week? Texans.
I can find out here shortly.
Yep. So Texans. Oh, I'm sorry. They play at the Colts next week. So the Colts defense has been okay. So you know he could have a good game. Maybe they've been surprising us, I think, with how competitive they've been, kind of like the Lions. All right, so moving on to the running backs. Last week, number one running back was Cordarrelle Patterson. Number two, Barkley. 3, Henry. 4, Montgomery. 5, Harris. So, you know, how do running backs do this week compared to that? Number one running back was Eckler. This is more kind of a normal week for us. We have Eckler 1. I'm going to skip 2 for now. Henry was number 3. We expect him to be up there. Kamara's number 4. We expect him to be up there. Madison on the Vikings, number 5. I think it's safe to say that you can kind of interchange Madison to Cook, so we expect Cook or Madison to be up there in the top 5. Number 2 was not a traditional CMC or Aaron Jones or anyone like that. It was Miles Gaskins. I think he had a 10-plus catch game, 2 touchdowns. Alex, can you expect Gaskins to stay up there? Because I know he's had 1 great game out of 5 now. They can't run the ball, so it's really dependent on being a PPR. Do you buy the Gaskins? And obviously, he won't be due 30 again, but can you see him doing between 10 and 15 next week and going forward?
Well, next week they're playing the Jaguars, so I would expect him maybe 1 more week to get him some couple of stealing points. Then I definitely will try to sell him.
Yeah, that's a good point, especially because they're the game in London. So after that, they'll be on a bye week. So that gives you guys that bye week to try to flip him and trade him after he should have a good game against the Jaguars. All right. Other running backs to talk about. Number 6 this week was Hunt on the Browns. Alex, he's outscored Chubb the last 3 weeks in a row. So, and it's not because they're not running the ball at Chubb. It's just that Hunt has been doing so much in PPR leagues as a receiver. So maybe something to start looking at between those two running backs. Najee Harris has now had 3 straight 20 fantasy point per games in his first 100-yard rushing game. They're targeting him a lot in the passing game. They're using him a lot. So even if he goes back to being 50, 60 yards rushing a game like he has been for the rest of the weeks, he'll keep getting passes. Last year, this is, I think, what we expected out of a Clyde Edwards-Helaire that we didn't get is what we're getting this year for Harris. So I think he's safe as a top 10. Alex, number 11, last week, and I think the week before that, we told everyone, get James Robinson. Urban Meyer's starting to figure out that they need to use him more. He was 11 this week. He had his first 100-yard rushing game. He had 18 carries, 149 yards, and 1 touchdown. So I think, you know, start buying in on him. Alex, number 14, was Booker filling in for Barkley when he got hurt. He had a rushing receiving touchdown. Do you buy in on going after Booker in the waiver wire this week?
Obviously, you want to make sure, first of all, Saquon is out. Way it looked like he probably sprained his ankle, so he's probably going to be out. High ankle sprain, 4 to 6 weeks. If you're looking for a running back, you're desperate. I think Fournette is kind of one of those guys you got to pick up to kind of see what's going on because Jason Garrett loves to run the football.
Yep. All right. Let's move on to wide receivers now. The top five wide receivers this week. I'm not going to talk about last week's. This week, we had Adams as number one. Mike Williams back in the top five after his one off week last week. Back now as number two wide receiver. Antonio Brown, number three. Tony, number four for the Giants just because they have no one else to throw the ball to. Mike Evans, number five, because he had his two fourth quarter touchdowns in garbage time against, for some reason, against the Dolphins. And garbage time is weird because they were winning. So instead of running the ball out, they just kept throwing the ball. Dick move, Tom Brady. Mike Williams, number two. We keep saying get him. If you didn't get him at this point, you guys screwed up. You can't get him. But number four, though, Tony, the rookie out of Florida, nine targets last week, nine targets last week, 13 targets this week, 10 catches, 189 yards. He did hurt himself a little bit. He did get ejected from the game. Alex, they like to force feed the ball to Shepard when he's healthy. Shepard and Slayton's hurt. Galladay was hurt. Barkley's hurt. Do you go all in on Tony and get him if you need a wide receiver? Or do you think to temper expectations that he won't get this many targets just because all the receivers will start coming back for New York?
Temper your expectation from the simple fact we don't really know what Daniel Jones' quarterback situation is. He's in concussion protocol. We kind of don't really know what we're going to get with Mike Glennon. It might be an upgrade with Mike Glennon. It might be a downgrade with Mike Glennon. So with quarterback situations, like I kind of like to stay away from wide receiver, uncertain wide receiver situations. So because it could be Slayton and Sterling Shepard that come back this week, and then you put a hole in the game plan.
Yep. Number nine, Courtland Sutton had 11 targets this last week, 7 for 120 in touchdowns. So he's slowly getting that chemistry with Teddy Bridgewater. Number 12, Moore on the Texans, his second half game this year, 5 for 109 in touchdown. He had a better week than DeAndre Hopkins, but let's just forget we talked about him because he won't exist ever again, probably. Number 33, Tyler Lockett. He does this we talked about before the year. Huge games and then nothing. For me, I would trade for Tyler Lockett now if you're already in a league where you're winning and kind of stash him. For the people that don't follow Lockett as well, he has these huge games and nothing games already because he's hugely dependent on PPR. Russell Wilson's gone. Not sure how much he's going to get the ball. I would take this time to see if you can get Lockett low. Flip someone like a Cordarrelle Patterson just because Patterson, we don't know what he really is. He could just be peaking at a really good time right now. But go get someone like Lockett. The next one, Scary Terry, 4.46. But Marcus Lattimore, the third best corner in football in terms of PFF grade, he's a shadow corner. He locked down Lattimore. Don't be concerned about McLaurin. He'll be just fine going forward. Now, the favorite position for us to talk about, Alex, tight ends, the craziest position to predict because it's not possible. Last week's top three, the Bengals tight end Uzomah, Dawson Knox was second, Mo Alie-Cox is third. This week's top three. Njoku from the Browns, number one. Kyle Pitts, finally, number two. And Dawson Knox back in there again, number three. Alex, once again, we don't have our, Kelce and Waller and Kittle up there. What do you think about this whole tight end situation with how inconsistent it's pretty much been every week?
So I've got a theory, and I've kind of looked spent a lot of time watching football. It seems to me that a lot of these third tight ends are getting, for some reason, red zone targets, and that's kind of skewing a lot of the numbers. Because I sit down and look at the notes and lists here, and it seems like the third tight end on a lot of these teams are getting touchdowns, random touchdowns out of nowhere, and really stealing touchdowns away from maybe if you have a Jared Cook. You had part of them getting a touchdown from him. If you had someone else, it's you're getting your touchdown stolen from for third tight end. So that's kind of what I've been seeing this past week. But who the heck knows? This fantasy football season kind of got me putting my hands in the air.
Yeah, Ricky Seals-Jones, Tommy Tremble, just a lot of, just like you said, the backup tight end, the Chargers, Donald Parham Jr., just a lot of weird things going on. So things to look for going forward. Schultz is here to stay. He's number six again this week. He's had targets in the last three games of seven targets, eight targets, eight targets. he's there to stay. I would, if you don't have him, get him. Alex, my question is, once Gallup comes back for injury, does that take anything away from Schultz, or do you think Schultz is kind of what he is already?
Schultz is kind of the guy. He's going to be the guy here and there out of Dallas. It seems like they're even talking to Schultz about maybe doing a contract extension. So I think they're going to sell in and Schultz kind of being the main guy for their, you know, they're obviously going to use Jarwin at times, but it seems to me they've kind of said Schultz is the guy down there. So they're looking to extend him. So yeah, you should be feel comfortable playing Schultz now.
All right. And here's my sleeper pickup for everyone on Jacksonville. I talked up O'Shaughnessy at the start of the year. He had targets. Jacksonville throws the ball to tight ends. It doesn't matter who they are. They will throw the ball to tight ends. They just made that trade with the Panthers to get Dan Arnold. What does he do in his first game? 8 targets, 6 catches, 64 yards. No one is tracking this because the name is Dan Arnold and because the team is Jacksonville. If you need a tight end, monitor it for 1 week. Maybe I'm wrong. But every time I look at Jacksonville's and tight ends, they're throwing to tight ends. They need to throw because they're playing from behind. To me, it's a sneaky good pickup for a tight end if you want someone to kind of blend into these numbers. Because as you can see right now, where was our top three? You know, Kelsey, he was number 5 this last week. He finally got closer. Waller was number 13, and Kittle's on the IR. So tight ends are a complete crapshoot, like I said at the start of the year. Don't draft tight ends. Just play the game. And this year is showing more than any other year, I think, in fantasy football, that you can really take any tight end if you just kind of follow kind of where the targets are going. All right, let's wrap this up, Alex. Bye weeks for this week. Falcons, Jets, Niners, and Saints are the bye weeks teams this week. And who are the 4 matchups that we're looking at? Well, the first one is the Vikings at Carolina. Not because these teams are the elite teams as of right now, but the Vikings are, I think, 2-3. Carolina's 3-2. These are two teams that are fighting for a playoff position. You know, I think whatever team wins this game points itself in the right trajectory of being a playoff team. So, Alex, Minnesota, Carolina, I have Minnesota covering and winning this game. I think they can pull it off. What about you?
Oh, my goodness. It's really a pick-em game. So I think they're going in two different directions. I'm taking Minnesota. Right now, Minnesota's trending up. Carolina's trending down.
Does CMC playing change your mind at all?
Yes, but I don't think he's going to play this week. I think there's no rush right now to bring him back.
All right. Next one, I think this is maybe the second best game of the week. I think Chargers at Baltimore. Baltimore is favored by 3.5. I'm full blown on the Chargers train. I think the Chargers can win that game. To me, the only thing that stops them is injuries. So I think the Chargers can cover by losing within 3.5 or win that game. What about you, Alex?
Yeah, I think they can cover. So yeah, I'm going with you, same direction. I agree with it.
All right, Arizona at Cleveland. Cleveland's favored by 3. This is a great, because Cleveland's 3-2. Arizona's undefeated. I think Cleveland has learned how to play in a lot of these games. I think Cleveland's defense is good enough to contain the Cardinals if they have everyone back. You know, I want to say Arizona just because of the spread, but I'm going to go Cleveland. I just think this is a must-win for them. I think they have to find a way to win this game.
I'm going the opposite way. I'm going towards the smart money, going towards Arizona.
How dare you say smart money, even though you're probably right. All right, the last one I got here is Las Vegas at Denver. I think this is a fight to be relevant. This is a, you know, you need whoever wins this game stays in the playoff hunt. I think whoever loses this game is just done for the season. I think both teams are, you know, trending in the wrong direction. Are there better games? Yes. You know, me and Alex talked about Dallas, New England. There's a couple other games that are worth picking, but in terms of relevance for both teams, I think this is an important game. Vegas at Denver. Alex, Denver's favored by 3. I think I'm going to pick Denver just because I think there's some negativity happening in Las Vegas. I'm not sure if they're going to have the right mindset. I trust Derek Carr way more than I trust Teddy Bridgewater, but I just kind of have a feeling that Denver could pull this one out.
Yeah, I agree with you. Denver's a hard place to play, man, unless you got a really good team. I thought Pittsburgh would kind of pull it out last week, which they did. But I think another week with Teddy Bridgewater, I think they get it done.
All right. I think that put us a little farther. We're a little past the 40-minute mark, but that's all right. make sure we cover everything properly for you guys. Hopefully you guys get everything you need out of this. Hopefully you get some good information. Thanks for listening. Listen, share, subscribe. We appreciate all the support like usual, guys. Like I said, episode 39. Alex, any last comments?
How about them Cowboys?
How dare you? All right. In a year where the Niners suck, we them boys. So thanks for listening. Have a good one. We'll catch you guys next episode.